I've got people, I have these things in my mind, I've seen their videos. God broke the law in sending Jesus Christ to love us. What? That's not in the Bible. Sounds good, sounds romantic. I don't know why we're trying to romanticize God's love toward us. It is the greatest demonstration of love in that it is unconditional. God loved us despite our condition. Why do we move past that? Well, because we want something that sounds good, feels good. And I like that. I like how it sounds. And oftentimes pastors sacrifice biblical context so that they can have a better message title or a better series title. Well, hello and welcome back to Bibleline. It's your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we're answering another question. This is actually question number 50 on BibleLineMinistries.org. You can go there, look at the Q&A tab, and you can see where I've given answers for these. I really encourage you to do that because most of the time, you see me looking down at my laptop. I'm looking at the answer that I've already previously written out. This is a great question, and so I want to dive right into it. All right. Our listener asks, I wanted to know what the consequences of following a heresy and a false prophet are. I mean, what will happen to believers who follow after a heresy or a false prophet when they stand before God on Judgment Day? I think it's important to recognize that there are many judgments in the Bible, but the Great White Throne Judgment, or the Judgment Day, is not going to be a place where believers stand. In the book of Revelation, it's very clear that all those who appear at the Judgment Day to be judged will be cast into hell. So that is for unbelievers. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I think the believer will experience a loss of rewards. They will have been swindled, whisked away by false doctrine, which prevented them from growing spiritually and being blessed by God. They were stunted in their growth, so to speak, because they followed after a false prophet or after a heresy. So this is why it's very important and why Timothy was told to rightly divide the word of truth. We need to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. How does one do that? By studying things from a literal, historical, grammatical approach. That's my hermeneutics, by the way. When I look at the scripture, I take it literally. I know the scripture uses symbolism, and I know it talks about metaphors and similes and the personification of inanimate objects, and I think those things are clear where they are. But I primarily take the Bible literally, and especially in a historical grammatical context. So, what are some things that are described of people that fall into bad doctrine? Well, I think one of the greatest places that we should start, and grab your Bibles, I always encourage you to do that, is right here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to specifically look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but have their own lusts, shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Right before this, Timothy is encouraged to preach the word, to be ready in the off season and in season. With all long-suffering and maintaining of doctrine, he's supposed to reprove, rebuke. In verse 4, it says he's supposed to endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, because Paul's getting ready to be offered, and Timothy is the next one who's going to take his place. This is important to understand because I think verses 3 and 4 in 2 Timothy chapter 4 are most likely talking about believers, people that are falling away from the truth. They rather have their own lusts, their desires. That's what they're going to heap teachers that make their desires real and they go towards that. They have itching ears. It's the illustration of a dog who just wants to have the ears tickled or just whatever makes me feel good. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, which is what Timothy is encouraged to teach. And instead, they're going to be turned unto fables. And boy, isn't that an accurate description of a lot of Christianity today? Just fables, things that are not true. You've got worship leaders that are becoming head pastors, and they're totally changing the interpretation of the scripture. I've got people, I have these things in my mind, I've seen their videos. God broke the law in sending Jesus Christ to love us. What? That's not in the Bible. Sounds good, sounds romantic. I don't know why we're trying to romanticize God's love toward us. It is the greatest demonstration of love in that it is unconditional. God loved us despite our condition. Why do we move past that? Well, because we want something that sounds good, feels good. And I like that. I like how it sounds. And oftentimes pastors sacrifice biblical context so that they can have a better message title or a better series title. Well, there are consequences to that. And I want to go over five of believers, people like you and me that have already put their faith in Christ, what are some five consequences we can see of following after a false teaching? Well, the first thing is there's going to be a fascination with endless questions. Boy, you could probably see people like this in our comment section. It's just like question after question after question. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have questions, but we should find answers and then our questions should cease because we have the answer. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 4, it is said that neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Think about the kid that's always like, why? 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 Well, you could ask why forever and you never actually do what you're told to do. That's what I think is described here, specifically of those still at Ephesus and Macedonia, that they might as charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's what Paul means there in 1 Timothy 1:3. He's telling them, be careful about this other teaching that only gives heed to fables and endless genealogies and minister questions. And I think the person who asks endless questions and is not satisfied with the word is the person that is lacking in growth. We can be hearers and we can know the word, but where does the actual growth come? By being a doer. So go do what it says. The second thing is that we become victims of Satan's deception. I've got a couple of passages here. The first one is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll look in verse 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Why will they be judged by their works? Because that's all that they have. They do not have faith in Jesus Christ, which brings about eternal life. Hey, before we continue on, just want to remind you to subscribe to the YouTube channel here. Hit that red subscription button and hit the notification bell. Select all. And if you have any kind of Bible question, you can send it to us. Questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. And we will do our best to provide a written answer and maybe even make a video just like this. Make sure that you like, comment, and share the video because that does a lot of good for the channel. Let's get back to the answer. So the victims of Satan's deception are those who follow after those teachers of righteousness that are really, they're transformed. They're ministers of darkness. They are following after Satan himself, who is deceiving people. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, specifically verses 3, 13, and 18, we have some real strong concentrated warnings about what happens to people who follow after this false doctrine, whatever it may be. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. They make merchandise of you. They literally, I like the use of the word merchandise there, they literally make money off of you. And isn't that an accurate description when you think of like Benny Hinn, when you think of Jesse Duplantis, which by the way, I hope you don't think of me just because my name is Jesse. I have nothing to do with Jesse Duplantis. Kenneth Copeland, Todd White, I think that's his name, the guy with the dreadlocks who's just some of the things that he says, you're like, what? Stephen Furtick, Joel Osteen, these guys who, they have huge following, but they're always selling you a book that'll really give you everything that you need. They don't teach clearly what the Bible says. They make merchandise of you. You become a victim to that. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast on you. This is graphic. They literally feast off of the attention that you give them, the money that you give them, the power that you give them. And then, of course, in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. And I think the point I want to make here is that they allure you in. They drag you in like a fishing line dropped with the right bait. They'll bring you in, suck you in, and you begin to doubt God's word, and you trust in those men who are not even saved. You trust in them to educate you on things that pertain only to eternal life. So you become a victim of Satan's deception. Number three, you are described as dull of hearing. Now, this is an application that we're using here, but in Hebrews chapter 5, in verses 11 through 12, we have a warning against falling away from the truth. And the author of Hebrews says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You have not grown." So you are dull of hearing. You are in a way unable to understand the greater overarching themes of the Bible because you are following after a deception. I don't want that to be said of you. I certainly don't want it to be said of me, so we stick to the Bible. The fourth thing that I believe it comes as a result of following after false teachers is bondage. And you want to see bondage, it's robbing you of joy. And I know many of you are probably getting ready to write a comment right now because this describes you. This is where you were. You maybe got saved, you understood salvation correctly, but you fell away into Calvinism. You got trapped in that web of deceit, and it just robbed you of your joy. Now salvation is a works performance-based inward system. You have to look and reflect on yourself. Some of you have been delivered out of the bondage that comes in the Catholic Church of maintaining good works, keeping the sacraments, properly doing the Eucharist and confessing to priests and Hail Marys and the Rosary. And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 4 says very plainly, "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they may bring us into bondage." And so that's a fourth result that I see. And then ultimately in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 17, we have the statement that we will be led away from the truth. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall away from your own steadfastness. I don't think that eternal life is in view here. Again, I think the Christian life is in view. I think our effectiveness is in view. I think our ability to be used by God is in view here. And if you're following after people who are probably not saved because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is enough to earn eternal life, to be given eternal life, you follow after those teachings, it's going to lead you away. And those are just a few thoughts. I believe the biggest risk that the believer runs by listening and following after false teachers is a loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And you can look at that, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And believers are warned. We just saw these five passages. We're warned to stay away from these type of false teachers. They sneak in. They use deceit. They feign interest and concern. Then they lead people away from the truth. We're also strongly advised to rightly divide the word, 2 Timothy 2:15. And this is accomplished by sound doctrine from sound teachers. It's important to note, I just want to say this before we close, that salvation is never on the table. The loss of salvation is never on the table in these discussions. In fact, salvation cannot be lost because of promises like this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." But we can be swindled out of our joy now. I hope that gives the answer that you're looking for. As always, send in your questions to us. Write an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Keep it right here on Bible Line. We'll see you next week. Until then, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. God bless you.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.